Tale of two different games. Friday's game, to be honest, and I was in the rink. It was an unbelievable atmosphere. It was kind of a boring game, to be frank. There wasn't a whole lot going on. My wife's never been to a playoff game, and I kind of probably talked it up to her, and she's like, well, geez, that was kind of boring. And then game two, though, was anything but. It was back and forth, entertaining, jam-packed barn. They'll get into Edmonton now. The Oil Kings, to me, what they've done very well through the series is their neutral zone play has really stifled the Raiders.
Well, I would agree with that, and that's actually kind of taking a page out of the book of probably the Hitmen and the Medicine Hat Tigers, to be honest, because I thought the Oil Kings struggled getting to the offensive zone against Medicine Hat especially. So, I thought they've done that pretty well. I think they use their speed is one of their better assets as well, and I think that's come to play a little bit. I thought the big difference between game one and two for me, I thought both teams, there wasn't a lot of scoring opportunities, like you said, in the first game. I think it got a little more loose, a little open. It opened up a little bit more, and that created more scoring opportunities in game two, and the excitement level went up. I think Edmonton found a way to start getting to the net as well, and I think that was a big key for them.
Well, I thought game two, the Raiders came out and dominated the first 10 minutes. The shots were 9-0. They led 2-0. Then they took a dumb penalty. And then the Oil Kings basically dominated the rest of that period, got two power play goals, and tied it up. And PA seemed to be very tentative after that. They got going. In overtime, Dylan Mischke might have been the busiest he'd been all series.
Yeah, he was really good. PA came out that overtime. I thought that was the best two or three minutes that they played. It was right at the start of overtime. The Oil Kings were absolutely on their heels, and Mischke bailed them out a couple of times. Huge stop in the extra frame, and eventually Edmonton, even the goal that went in, you're shooting. Any shot on net in overtime is probably a good decision, but that's one Ian Scott is going to stop 99 times out of 100.
Yeah, it's true. He had played excellent. He had made some huge saves in that game, and that's one I think if you ask him, he would say he wanted back. But that being said, Jake Neighbors, and honestly, I've watched more Raider games than I have Oil Kings games this season because of my nephew, and I have watched the Oil Kings game. And Jake Neighbors, from what I saw early on in the season, which he was a 16-year-old, to the player I see now, like, Jake Neighbors to me is a top 15 pick next year right now in the NHL, and it might go even higher. Like, there's a lot of people that are very high on Matthew Robertson, and he's a really good player. But I think Jake Neighbors at the same age is a better player, different position, but a better player.
Really good. He's so impressive, and it's easy to forget. It's his 16-year-old year. He just turned 17 like 3 weeks ago at the end of March. I would not at all be surprised if he's a top 20 pick next year. I think my only thought was, because he wasn't terribly offensive earlier this season. I mean, it's your rookie year, and you got to take that for what it's worth. But the way he's come on down the second half of the season after an injury at the midway point of the year, and what he's doing in the playoffs is terrific. I mean, he's a 17-year-old, barely 17, and co-leader of the team in scoring right now. It's fantastic. And He's a jack of all trades kind of guy. You could put him anywhere in your lineup, and he can be an offensive guy, as you're seeing now. He can be a penalty killer. He plays on the power play. He's got size. He's not backing down from anybody physically, despite being a lot younger than most of the competition. So, yeah, pretty impressive player already this early in his career.
Now, you got to think the Raiders, though. I still don't think they might have played bits and pieces of their game, but they're going to get better as this series goes along, and might now go into a longer series. Obviously, they've got to be a little bit more disciplined. I don't think they want to take as many penalties as they have because the Oil Kings' power play. Like, Brad Lauer probably doesn't get as much credit as he should. Like, he's come in, their power play all year long has looked really good, Guy, but you can just see kind of a guy who's been around the NHL as an assistant coach for a long time. He's implemented some things that's really, I think, improved a lot of the players on his team.
Power play's actually struggled in the playoffs, but showed up in the last game. I mean, it's still, I think, 13th in the playoffs, and there's only four teams left to go. So tells you that the power play hasn't been that good. And I think actually PA's power play is down there as well. It's like 12th or something right now. So both of these teams haven't been winning because of the strength of their power play. Complete opposite of Vancouver and Spokane. Those guys are, you get a power play in that game, it's almost guaranteed goal. But both of these teams have good power plays, and definitely the skill, the players on those power plays to get it done. So I don't think either of these clubs wants to take a penalty against each other because you're playing with fire, that's for sure.
Is Such injured?
Nope. Just he got on a bit of a cold streak and couldn't get back into the lineup. They inserted Zach Russell against wouldn't need to come in late Medicine Hat series, maybe early against the Hitmen, and started to contribute right away. Doesn't play a ton, and if Such gets back into the lineup, might not play a ton either, but it's a little surprising when you look and see like a 40-point guy who is a healthy scratch.
Yeah, your fifth leading scorer on the team. Didn't play in either game. I'll say this about Russell. He's drawn two penalties. Like, he knows how to aggravate the other team.
Yeah, well, and that's, I think, what they brought him in for, was to be a physical guy. For him, it's important to play that and walk that fine line, because, boy, it's so, you know, you get undisciplined and you'll find yourself out of the lineup, I think, if you're Zach Russell. So he took a penalty. I think it was early in game one. I thought, he's going to have to be careful, because it's key for him to be a physical presence, because there are some smaller Oil King players. And he's got to be that that guy that brings that to the game, but you can't afford to take penalties.
Do the Oil Kings need more from Fix Wolanski from what you saw in the first two games? Like, I know he scored, but you know, he's capable of giving you more.
Yeah, I think so. We haven't seen him, actually, the entire playoffs. I haven't seen him play like I have during the course of the regular season. But that's not to say he's playing poorly. He's getting opportunities. Points are still coming, but he's not having those three or four game point nights like we saw during the regular season. But, you know, it can come for him. He has played well against PA this season. But, yeah, I think it's also playoff time and teams are keying in on the opposition. I mean, Brett Leeson hasn't scored in seven games.
Yeah,
Fix Wolanski is still getting some points. But, yeah, there's some big guns for both teams that would like to get going.
Well, yeah, definitely. I think Leeson and Fix Wolanski are the two guys for sure on each team that want to get going offensively. Quickly over to the other series. In Vancouver takes care of business on home ice. Although, you know, it looked like Spokane was going to even up that series. And then, boom, the Giants score, what, four goals in 2 minutes and change.
Yeah.
And they win the game 4-2. You know, and the Spokane's had really good goaltending all year long. That was kind of a surprise to me what happened in game two.
Well, and it was for me too, because I thought the way Spokane took care of the Everett Silvertips, I actually thought that they might have the upper hand on Vancouver in this series, because Vancouver has been playing, you know, lower level teams, Victoria in the last round, and kind of Spokane has been having to play absolute A-plus hockey.
Yeah.
To get to this point. So I thought they would have the edge coming in, but, you know, tip of the hat to the Vancouver Giants. And Spokane has good goaltending. Vancouver's got two good goaltenders, so it doesn't matter who you throw in for the Giants. And they've actually been rotating their goaltenders, which you don't see often in the playoffs. But whether it's Trent Miner or David Tandek, they're getting good goaltending from both of those guys. Davis Kosh leading the playoffs in scoring right now. Didn't expect to see that necessarily, but Bowen Byram, for fans who haven't had a chance to watch him, he is the real deal.
Oh, buddy, he's probably going to be a top three pick.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Yeah.
Yep.
Quickly, whoever comes out of the Western Hockey League, how do you think they're going to shape up against the O and the Q in the Memorial Cup?
Always a challenge, isn't it? This time you're flying all the way out to the East Coast, but the travel schedule in the WHL is a huge disadvantage, I think. Sure, now there's only 68 regular season games, like in the OHL and the Q, but the travel is completely different from those other two leagues. So, to me, it's always a bit of a disadvantage for the Western Hockey League. We'll see, though. I think on paper, you know, whoever it is out of the WHL now, four pretty good teams, but there are still some juggernauts left in those other two leagues as well.
Guy, we'll see you at the rink tomorrow.
Sounds good, Jason.